Bless you. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning's worship service is from Luke 2, verse 21 through 35. Luke 2, verse 21 through 35. But first, we will listen to the holy law of God from Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 35. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So far the reading of God's precious word. We hope to remember in prayer the mourning family of Brother Cornelius Vogler of the Clifton congregation, who passed away yesterday at the age of 82 years. Jaden Verhoef, who came home from the hospital this past Friday. And also Evan and Julia Bies, who were blessed with a well-born girl this past week. Let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing in this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, and thou who art the upholder of all things, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We cannot take one breath, but we are also completely dependent upon thee, not only for all our physical needs, but also for our spiritual needs. O Lord, then we beg thee in this morning, thou who art that almighty, only true Lord God of heaven and earth, we ask thee, we beg thee for thy presence among us in this morning, as in thy mercy and in thy goodness, the doors of thy house here have been opened again, and we may be gathered together as a congregation to hear what thou hast to say unto us from thy word. We beg thee that thou would also gather with us. Oh, we beg thee for thy presence, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we plead upon that one promise that thou hast given us also in thy word. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. Lord, thou art faithful, thou art good. We are unworthy, we are sinful, we're polluted from head to toe. We have sinned against thee again in this past week, and we deserve nothing but thy wrath, and that thou would pass us by. But may we ask thee, for thy own name's sake, for thy glory, for thy dear people, for the conversion of sinners, and the edification of thy dear people, Lord, gather with us. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in preaching and in listening. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, living according to their own will, and on that broad way that leads to a never ever ending eternity and destruction. Oh, may we beg thee today that it may be the hour of thy good pleasure, that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they may truly live, that they may have spiritual life given unto them by thee, that almighty God. But Lord, remember also all those who are born again, who are recipients of that free and sovereign grace. O Lord, thou knowest how it is in their hearts, how they have come into thy house. Care for them. Remember those poor and needy little beggars, the little lambs, the sheep of that good shepherd, who only are looking within and see all sin and pollution and corruption. Lord, we ask thee that thou would remember thy dear people, and that in this day, through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may be given to look outside of self, that they may look up unto thee, from whence cometh all their help. But wilt thou also give, that they may be drawn and led and given faith, and that faith may be an exercise to look upon that one precious mediator, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we ask thee, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thou would reveal thy dear Son unto poor and needy sinners, that they may have that same joy that we may read of that Simeon had, of by those arms of faith embracing that precious mediator, that precious redeemer, he who came into this world to seek and save lost ones, he who came to satisfy the justice of God that no man, no sinner could ever justify. He who came to fulfill the law for transgressors. And Lord, we are transgressors, and we know it with our minds, but teach us in our hearts. Care for thy dear people, May there be food and drink by thy word, by the Holy Spirit. May there be water for the thirsty ones. May there be bread for the hungry ones. Oh, give opening, Lord, come with thy Holy Spirit, and richly bless thy word for the honor, for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners. And Lord, we may be in the land of the living, in the time of grace. It's thy mercy. We have heard of him who was taken away out of this life at the age of 82 years. O Lord, remember his dear family, all those who are mourning, his children, his wife, who may not even understand it. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Remember that whole family, but remember all those who were mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a child, a brother, a sister, a friend. Remember all those who are sick and afflicted. Bless the means they may use. And Lord, may we ask thee to sanctify these callings to our hearts, and that we may hear thy voice, that thou art preaching unto us, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And may we ask thee, Lord, by thy grace, by thy spirit, that thou would prepare us, that we may know who we are, that we are sin, and that we come to an end of all hope and expectation and everything in self, and that we are waiting, looking, longing for the consolation of Israel, that precious Savior of sinners. Lord, we also may acknowledge thee for that family who received a healthy baby girl. What a wonder. They have seen it also in that family, as we may also give thanks unto thee that a little child may come home from the hospital of such a long time. O Lord, give true thankfulness, broken hearts unto thee for all thy mercies. Lord, we see again that thou art that wonder creator, that one who performs that life in the womb, and who makes life, who gives life, and who spares life, and who upholds life. Oh, teach us, Lord. We pray and ask thee that thou would also remember the mission board who hopes to meet later this week. Guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit, that all decisions may be for thy glory, for thy honor, and for the coming of thy kingdom also in Bolivia. May we beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember all mission work. Bless it among Jew and Gentile throughout the entire world, but also in Bolivia. Care for the church workers and their families, the elders, the deacons, and Pastor Marco. Lord, richly bless thy word in Bolivia, that many may come to know thee, to worship thee, to adore thee. Thou art so worthy. But remember also this congregation, the oldest to the youngest. O prepare us, Lord, to meet thee by thy grace, by thy Holy Spirit. Care for also the office bearers, those who also will be installed into the office. Care for them, the elders, the deacons. And may they then look up unto thee, from whom cometh all their help, that in all their insufficiencies, that they may be encouraged and strengthened thee, who thou who said, faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. Remember also thy servant, Reverend in Hollander, care for him, Lord. Give him all that he stands in need of as an ambassador sent by thee to proclaim thy precious word also to this people. Help him day by day. Guide him and lead him by thy word and spirit, and that he may be an instrument in thy hand for thy glory and for the salvation of sinners here in Fort McLeod. Care for him and his family. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We have no rights. Thou could rightly pass us by, but may we ask thee, may we beg thee again, Lord, come. Come with the power of thy Holy Spirit and give us a good hour in thy house, and that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was in our midst. Help thy servant, Lord, given the unction of the Holy Spirit, be with his mind, be with his mouth, be with his heart, and that he may be used for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the regeneration of dead sinners, but also that there may be food and drink for the little lambs and for the sheep. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 362, all stanzas. 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 362, all three stanzas. In the meantime, your gifts will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the poet wrote in Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Does this describe your heart this morning? Has Christmas passed and it's not Christmas in your soul? Are you longing? Are you waiting? Are you looking? Hoping for him? Are you waiting upon the Lord as a guilty, lost, helpless, hell-worthy sinner? Are you longing for reconciliation with a holy and a just God? Are you hoping in his word? You read a precious encouragement, a hope, a promise in his word, and you're waiting for the fulfillment of the Lord for his word? It's one thing, congregation, to receive an encouragement, to receive a promise, to have a hope. But it's another thing to have the substance of the promise, to have the substance of the gospel, to have him who is the gospel. What a blessing to have his word, to receive encouragements, to receive a promise. But it's another thing to have the substance, to be waiting, to be longing for him who is the consolation of Israel, to be like Simeon. My friend, are you like Simeon? He was waiting upon the fulfillment of the promise of God. He received a promise, but he didn't have yet the substance of the promise. In the life of God's people, God encourages them through his word. He speaks. He gives encouragement. He gives hope. But it's another thing to have the substance, to be able to hold the substance of the gospel. Maybe you say, explain a little what you mean. I'll give you an example, young people, children. Abraham. God spoke to him. He gave a promise to him. And we read in Romans 4 that he staggered not at the promise of God. He believed it. He believed the promise of God. But then he had to wait many years for the fulfillment of the gospel, to be able to hold Isaac, to be able to hold him in his arms. And so we see with example, it's one thing to have an encouragement, to have a promise, but it's another thing, a different experience, to have him, to hold him by the arms of faith. My friend, are you like Simeon? Did you come to God's house this morning with a heart like Simeon? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ was on his mind and on his heart. He was waiting, longing to see him whom his soul loved. And Jesus had come. He was born. He was upon the earth. But Simeon had not yet met him. He was a waiting sinner. And so with the Lord's help, this morning, we would like to consider what we can read in Luke 2, verse 25 through 30. Luke 2, verse 25 through 30. Let us read those verses again. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, so to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So far from God's word. The theme this morning is Simeon's meeting with the child Jesus. Simeon's meeting with the child Jesus. Three thoughts. First, Simeon longs for Jesus. We read that in verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon embraces Jesus. We read this in verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And then Simeon, our third thought, testifies of Jesus. And we read that in the following verses. So Simeon's meeting with the child Jesus. Simeon longs for Jesus. Simeon embraces Jesus. And Simeon testifies of Jesus. So our first thought this morning, Simeon longs for Jesus. Congregation, who is Simeon? There's many opinions of who this man is, many speculations, and the commentators have many different opinions. But who is Simeon? Who can give us the best testimony this morning of who Simeon is? God. God's word gives you and me a testimony of who Simeon is. What does the Lord say of who Simeon is? What do we read in verse 25? And the same man was just and devout. So who is Simeon? The first thing we read about him is he's a man. You say, what's so important about that? Well, he's a man. That means he's like you and me. Simeon was born as a lost, totally depraved sinner, dead in sins and trespasses. But from the context, we may know and believe that Simeon is not as he was born. Simeon has been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Simeon is no more a natural man. He received grace. He was a recipient of God's grace. How do we know this? From the context. He was a man, but he was also a just and devout man. Simeon was a true Christian. Simeon lived in the ways of the Lord. The fear of God was in his heart. Simeon had awe. He had love. He had the fear of God in his heart. Simeon worshiped the Lord. He loved to go to God's house. He wasn't just a formal Christian, an outward appearance of Christian. No, he was a true Christian in his very being by God's grace in his heart. He was not someone who just did all the right things. No, he was not only a hearer of the word, he was a doer of the word by God's grace. Simeon was a just and devout man. Simeon was godly in his walk and in his talk because he was godly in his heart, in his soul, by God's free and sovereign grace. Simeon's outward life testified of God's grace. Simeon was just and devout. He had a close life with the Lord. How do we know that? Because what we read, because he was influenced and led by the Holy Spirit. Those who have a close life with the Lord are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Congregation, you who are recipients of God's grace, can it be said of you? Can it be said of me? Is it God's testimony of you and me, you who are recipients of grace? He, she is just and devout. God sees you and me. He sees everything, our whole heart, our life, everything, our thoughts, our cares, our affections. He saw everything of Simeon and he gave the testimony. He was just and devout. Or are you still dead in sins and trespasses, doing all the right things? And it's good to come to church. Absolutely. But are you still dead? Are you still devout to yourself, to your flesh, to your will? And are you not devoted to God? Are you unjust Is it the opposite? Is that God's testimony still of you? Are you still living for the world, my friend? Is that you? Or can you understand a little of Simeon's heart, Simeon's longing? Simeon longs for the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you still living for the world? Listen from the word of God. 1 John 2 verse 15 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Who is Simeon? How did he live? How was he living? What was on his mind? What was in his heart? How would we describe Simeon? We read not only that he was a man and a just and devout man, but he was also, as we read in verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was waiting. What does this mean? What does it mean? Waiting. Simeon was waiting. It means he was active. Actively looking forward with expectation upon something or someone. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting with expectation, with a longing, with a deep yearning in his soul. For what? For who? Simeon, what are you waiting for? What are you yearning for? May I ask you, my friend, what are you longing for? What are you yearning for? What's in the depth of your heart this morning? Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. The consolation of Israel is a beautiful name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon was actively, expectantly longing, waiting for the Messiah, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an encouragement, he had a promise, but he had yet not held by the arms of faith, that precious Messiah, the substance of the gospel. Who is Simeon? Simeon had no more hope in his flesh. He had no more hope in his works. He had no more hope in self. It all came to nothing. It was all unrighteousness, filthy rags. He became a bankrupt sinner. The Holy Spirit renews and works and leads to that only Savior. And he needs to strip us and empty us of everything. Otherwise, we will not become a waiting person upon the consolation of Israel. Simeon wasn't looking in himself no more. Do I have enough this? Do I have enough that? Do I have enough this? He couldn't be satisfied with anything that he had, even though he received it all from God, all those experiences. It wasn't his salvation. He was taught that this precious, no, we don't need to throw our experiences away, congregation, but does it lead us to death and self, to find life only in the consolation of Israel? Simeon had a deep longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a precious promise. While Simeon was living, longing, hoping for the coming Messiah, he had received a promise from the Lord that he would see him physically with his eye before he died. The object of his faith that he had learned by grace and by the Spirit, that Savior who was the object of his faith, he would see him, he would meet with him, the consolation. What joy must have been in this man's heart. Do you understand that? Could you understand the joy that must have been in this man's heart? Can you relate to that? Did you come this morning? Lord, it's Christmas is past. It hasn't been Christmas in my soul, and I can't give it to myself. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. But I long. I long for Christmas. I need that Savior who came. I don't only know to hear that He was born, but I need Him in my heart. I need Him. Simeon would see with his eye, his physical eye, the Messiah, Him whom he had seen through the Word, but he longed to meet Him. He had a longing, the consolation of Israel. He must have thought, I'm going to finally see Him. I'm going to finally see Him whom my soul loves. Can you understand this? Or is this all foreign to you? You come to church. Did you come with a longing? Did you go on your knees before you came to church and begged, Lord, I have no rights. No rights. I can't claim anything. But oh, may I this morning see Him. See that precious Savior of sinners. Did you beg for the Lord to reveal the consolation of Israel, the Savior of sinners, to your soul? Did you beg Him, Lord, I need Him. I can't live without Him anymore. Or may I see Him again, whom I have seen in the past. May I see Him. Have your spiritually eyes been opened not only to see yourself of who you are before a holy and just God, but have your eyes been opened for a need? Are you looking? Are you searching, longing for the consolation of Israel? Born again sinners become lost in self. They become poor in spirit, and they become poorer and poorer. They become mourners. They become guilty, helpless, hopeless. Sinners by God's grace, they begin to be seekers. Seekers for whom? Seekers for the only Savior. They become a waiting people, waiting for Him, longing to meet Him, to hear His voice, to have a visit in their soul through the Word, through the preaching, through the sacraments. They long for Him. Waiting is an act of faith, congregation. It's a faith upon His Word. We read in Micah 7, verse 7, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. May I ask you again, is this you? Is this your heart? And maybe today, if you have the book of Alexander Comrie, the ABCs of Faith, the very last chapter, I believe, is upon waiting. Read it. But let us return to the history of Simeon, who has a longing to meet the child. We read in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Three times we read of the Holy Spirit. Three times in this verses. It proves that the Holy Spirit was already working before Pentecost. Simeon, we read, came, first he was revealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and then he came by the Spirit into the temple. So we read about the Holy Spirit, that it was also upon him. Simeon goes to the temple to meet the child Jesus Christ. He longs to see him. He goes to the temple. In connection with Simeon seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to insert a few thoughts for us to think on this morning. First, where did Simeon meet the child Jesus Christ? Where? In the temple. Today we would say in church, in the place of worship. We would say, especially on the Lord's Day. Simeon was guided by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple to meet the child Jesus. The Holy Spirit drew Simeon to the temple so that he would meet the Messiah, he who was promised unto him. In the temple. How did this happen? Did Simeon see a vision? Did he hear a voice? No, we read that he was led by the Holy Spirit. He came by the Spirit into the temple. This is a lesson especially for you, children of God. Is there something laid on your heart at times? It's for God's glory and for love and care for someone else. Do it. Obey that urge in your heart. The Holy Spirit leads and guides internally his people. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. He's influenced to go to that temple exactly on that day that the Messiah would be there. How did Joseph and Mary, how did that child come to the temple at that exact time? Can you see Simeon walking, going to the temple? And at that same time, we could say Joseph and Mary, that child was brought to the temple. Joseph and Mary went in obedience to the law, to the custom and to the law. Joseph and Mary went to the temple to bring a sacrifice according to the law of purification. After a woman gave birth to a child, she was unclean according to the law. And now this time was past, and they came to the temple in obedience to the law of God. How old was this baby? How old was the Lord Jesus Christ, children? How old do you think he was? Well, Mary, or I should say, Jesus was first circumcised when he was 8 days old. And then Mary was unclean for 33 days. So we may believe that this child was 41 days old or about 6 weeks old. But I'd like to also consider another thought. See Mary and Joseph, but look at this child. This little child that was brought to the temple. Who is this child? Congregation, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And why did they need to bring him to the temple? Why did they need to go there? Because Mary gave birth to a child. And according to the law, when a woman gave birth to a child, she gave birth to what? A sinner, an unclean child. And so they needed a sacrifice of purification. So for the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of a child was he, children? Did he have sin? No, he didn't. He was a pure child. He was a holy child in his whole being. So we see here also his humiliation. Mary and Joseph came to do a sacrifice for a pure child. He was willing to be a substitute. His humiliation. The Lord Jesus was pure, holy in his whole being. He didn't need this, and yet he did, because in his humiliation, he stood there also as a little child in this temple as a substitute for his unclean people. And at this time, Simeon met the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in his humiliation. He met the substitute for unclean sinners at the temple. What a privilege. Do you understand it? What a privilege you have, Fort McLeod, that Sunday after Sunday, the Lord's house is opened. You may come into the temple. You may come to hear the word of God. You may come in God's house. And what does the Lord promise in his word? That when you gather together as a congregation, what does he promise in his word? Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Lord delights to meet helpless, hopeless, bankrupt, unworthy, hell-worthy sinners in especially the official worship services. Under the ministration of the preaching of the gospel and under the administration of the sacraments, God reveals himself to sinners. He meets with them. He meets with them. He visits them. He speaks to them. And he longs to have communion with them. May I ask you, does your soul long and thirst? Are you waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Congregation, especially in the worship services, the Lord delights to meet His people, to bless them under the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Faithfully use the means of grace. Faithfully read His word. But faithfully, prayerfully, come to God's house and listen to the warning in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. How was the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to Simeon? How? Did Mary and Joseph announce, here He is, this is the child? Did they come into the temple and tell all those people, this is the child? No, we do not read that at all. How did Simeon know that that babe, that little child that was in their arms, He's Him? He's the consolation of Israel by the Holy Spirit. How may sinners know? How may they see? How may He be revealed? By the Word and by the Holy Spirit. What did Simeon see in this child? Was there something special in this child? No. There is nothing physically precious or extraordinary in this child. What do we read about Him in Isaiah 53, verse 2? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see Him. There is no beauty that we should desire Him. By the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, Simeon knows what no eye by nature could see. He saw by the eye of faith. He saw this child. He knew this is the child. This is the consolation of Israel. Simeon saw what no natural man could see in this child. Congregation, how precious is the word of God? How precious and necessary is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? But also how precious and necessary is the work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit and Christ, they belong together. They work together for the salvation of sinners. Jesus Christ merited salvation. And without the work of the Holy Spirit, we would have no need for Him. And we would never see Him. And He would never be revealed unto us. But that precious Holy Spirit, He reveals to sinners that precious Savior, the consolation of Israel. Many people go to church. Many in Bolivia, many in Canada, many in the United States, many over the whole world. But how many come to church with a longing, with a need, waiting, yearning in their soul for the consolation of Israel? Why? Why do so many come? Why do you still come, maybe, with no longing? It's because you're still dead. The natural man is without any need, any longing for the precious Savior, for Him who's the way back to a holy and righteous and just God. The natural man is blinded. We think of the Lord Jesus. He was with Israel. He walked among them. He talked to them. He did miracles. But what do we read in John 1, verse 10, 11? He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Is that still you? In church? And we may believe in the preaching that the Lord Jesus, as He promised, He comes, He gathers with among by the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. He was in the temple. And there was many other people in the temple besides Simeon. But the only other one that we read that had an eye to see Him, to long for Him, was Anna. There was other people doing all the right thing. Obedient. Doing all the right thing. Worshiping. Obedience. But we do not read in the Word of God there was any other sinner longing, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Lord Jesus was in the temple. He was there. But there was other ones who had no need. What a sad state, my friend. Is this still you? What a necessity in your life. Yes, it's our guilt, but you're in desperate need of the work of the Holy Spirit to renew you, to make you alive, to show you who you are, to bring you to a death in self, and to lead you to that only Savior. The Holy Spirit leads guilty, lost sinners, reveals and leads them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come at God's time to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said that they will come to Him. All that the Father had given Him shall come to Him. Do God's people always see Him? Do they always see Him every time they come to church? No. Why? Various reasons. God is free and sovereign. But maybe He's hiding His face because of sin. Maybe that sheep has gone astray and the Lord is hiding His face. They don't see Him. Maybe they come without even any longing. What wretches we are and remain to be. Or maybe they need to learn deeper lessons of self. Maybe they're looking, hoping quietly upon this experience, upon this text, upon this encouragement, instead of longing, looking, yearning for Him. And so He hides His face in His wisdom and in His mercy so that they would learn, die to everything, that they would have life and hope only in Him. My friend, may I ask you, is there a longing? Is there a need for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a longing in your heart, in your soul, waiting for the consolation of Israel? Have you been born again? And do you understand what Simeon was longing for? Maybe you say, how may I know? How may I know if the Holy Spirit has worked in me savingly? I would sum it up this morning in two things. Two essential things. Death in self. Convicting of sin. That you sin against a good doing God. And there's godly sorrow in your heart. And there's no hope in self anymore. But there's something else. There's born, by God's grace, a longing, a looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes your only hope. Is that your heart? He becomes your longing, the object of your love, of your longing. Because why? Because He's the only way back to a holy and a righteous and a just God. And you long for God's favor. You long for a little token, a little smile, a little comfort. And you may know and have learned and have been taught it's only through Him. May it be said of you, my friend, of what's said of the women outside that sepulcher, the empty sepulcher. Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Is that your heart? Is that your life? Or is it still dead? And the Lord promises that those who by His grace become seekers shall become finders. Listen, He says in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with all your hearts. And congregation, He says in His word this morning, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. When may He especially be found? In the time of grace. But where especially? In His house. Have you become a seeker? Do you understand a little of the heart of Simeon, a longing, a waiting for the consolation of Israel? What will such ones do when they find Him, when He reveals Himself to them? Well, we will consider that in our second thought. But let us first sing from Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Psalter 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 188, 1, 3. 3, and 4. Simeon meets the child Jesus. Simeon longs for Jesus. And what's our second thought? Simeon embraces Jesus. Congregation, imagine being Simeon. Imagine him finally seeing and meeting the consolation of Israel. The only one that can comfort his guilty and lost soul. He sees him. It's him. He finally has come. He sees that child. And what does Simeon do? Does he immediately go home? Does he go home and tell his family, if he had a family or his neighbors? I've seen him. No, Simeon doesn't go home immediately. He can't go home. What does Simeon do? What does he immediately do? We read in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms. Imagine that man that had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He takes that child. He takes him into his arms. He embraces the child. He embraces the consolation of Israel. He embraces the only one that can help him, that the only one in whom there is life, in whom there is reconciliation. Could you see him standing there, holding that little child? Who is that child? Children? You say his name is Jesus. Yes. That precious Savior, Jehovah, saves. He is holding Emmanuel. Yes, a sinner, Simeon, is holding with his physical arms that precious consolation of Israel. Finally, him who his soul was longing and yearning for. He may hold him. He may embrace him. He saw the child and he could not refrain himself. He had to hold him whom his soul loved. He went and took this child from the parents' arms. And his heart, I'm absolutely sure, was so filled with deep, profound, unspeakable joy. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon embraced the child Jesus, the consolation of Israel. Does this still happen today? Yes. Do sinners still also embrace Jesus Christ? Yes. No, not literally with those arms, physical arms, and not literally the Lord Jesus Christ in his physical being. But Simeon did not only embrace him physically, he embraced him who was in his arms spiritually. He embraced him with those arms of faith, with his heart, with his love. He saw who that child was. My friend, when the work of the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and cuts off all other hope of reconciliation, all other hope of ever being saved, and reveals that precious child Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, as that way back to God, he also then draws sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. They see him not only with the eye, the physical eye, but they see him with the eye of faith. They see him. The Holy Spirit renews and he draws to that Savior and he reveals the Savior. What will a guilty sinner do when he may see by grace, by the eye of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, have you experienced this? Have you seen him in the broken bread, in that poured out wine? In the water, in baptism, through the word, in the preaching, maybe in your home, maybe in your closet, maybe in your truck, wherever you were, you saw him. The Holy Spirit revealed him by the word and you saw him. Then you will never, ever forget it. Never. You can't. You will not. Because that's such a blessing to see him. Not only to be encouraged, but to see him with the eye of faith. To see him, him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Have you ever sat in church? Have you ever sat at the Lord's Supper? Have you ever seen the sacrament of baptism? Have you ever seen him? Not only being encouraged, that's a blessing. Yes, it is. Don't throw it away. But have you seen him? Him who is the consolation of Israel. Did you see him by the eye of faith? Did you see him in the Word of God? Did you see him by the work of the Holy Spirit? When Jesus Christ is revealed to a sinner by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will embrace him by faith. They will. Their hearts will burn within them like the men to Emmaus. When the Holy Spirit, when they were revealed that it's him, that he's living, it's the Savior, he's alive, their hearts burned within them. What does it mean? What does it mean to embrace him? What does it mean that their hearts burn? Their hearts go out to him. There's love. He becomes their object of love. He becomes their only hope, their life, their everything. They want to follow him. They want to obey him. They don't want to sin anymore, because sin is against him who's so good. He becomes their beloved. He becomes the chiefest of 10,000. He becomes everything. He becomes life. He becomes the way back to God. He becomes the way of communion. That sweet communion. Sinners today also, by the work of the Holy Spirit, are not only born again and become lost and guilty and cut off and bankrupt, but also by that same blessed work of the Holy Spirit are drawn, led, and the Lord Jesus is revealed unto them. What a beautiful picture in the Song of Solomon. Remember, the bridegroom came to the door and knocked on the door, but she was already in bed. And I say it simply, she was too lazy to get up. She didn't move, but then he left, and then her heart burned within her. She felt how much she loved him, and she desired to meet him, to go to him. She opened the door, but he was already gone, and she went into the streets looking for him whom her soul loved. And she met others, the daughters of Jerusalem, and they asked her, "How is your beloved fairer than any others?" Oh, she could speak. She could tell them why. He's the fairest, the chiefest among 10,000. And she was looking, longing to meet him, searching, waiting, longing, yearning to meet him, her beloved. And she asked the watchman, "Have you seen him? Have you seen my beloved?" And she couldn't go home. And she sought and she searched and she found him. And then what do we read in the Song of Songs 3 verse 4? "I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go." Do you understand this? Do you understand the longing, but also that embracing, that your heart goes out to him, so to speak? You want to hold him? You want to hold him whom your soul loves? Thomas Boston said, "What is faith? It is but the daily traveling between a sinner's emptiness and the fullness that is in Jesus Christ. It is meeting Jesus Christ as a poor and guilty sinner and embracing him as the rich Savior for such ones." My friend, do you know something of a longing? But do you also know something of an embracing? Of an embracing? The Holy Spirit works by the Word, and he gives a new heart. But he also gives a heart to receive that only Savior. He gives eyes to see him, ears to hear him, feet to go to him, arms to embrace him, and a will to follow, to obey, to crucify the flesh, and to obey him. May I ask you this morning, congregation, what do you think of Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ? What think ye of the consolation of Israel? Do you understand? Simeon, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." And so we come for a few moments to our last thoughts. You see Simeon holding the child, the consolation of Israel. You see him, his heart is full. And you who experience, you understand it because then your heart is full. What incredible joy was in this man's heart to hold him whom his soul loved, to hold him who is the substance of the promise, to finally see him, hold him, him whom his heart loved, and then he must speak. No, somebody didn't tell Simeon, Simeon, you need to speak now. No, his heart was so full, he had to speak. He wanted to speak. He testifies of Jesus. What do we read in verse 28 through 30? Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What did Simeon mean? What did he say? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simply, it was as Simeon said, Lord, I have seen him. I've seen the consolation. I've seen that only Messiah. I've seen him who is salvation, because there's no other way. I've seen him. I see him. And now, Lord, I can die. This man had such a deep peace, not only in longing, but embracing the precious Savior, him whom soul loved. He could die. He could die because he held him. Oh, when it's full of unbelief, the heart, and all the storms come, and we see all our sin, Church of God, then the soul trembles in fears. Death is such an enemy. But when by faith, by grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, when we can hold him, when we can see him, when we have him who's the only comfort in life and death, oh, then we can die at times. Then we can say from the depth of our heart, Lord, take me. Take me. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to miss that sweet communion anymore. I just want to live forever in thy presence, forever, to be able to see thee, to behold thee, forever, to behold him whom my soul loves. Simeon says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, what a blessing. God's grace, yes, all by the free and sovereign grace to be made alive, to long for him, but also to see him, to embrace him, and then it will flow. It must flow. My friend, you who have no desire, no longing for the Savior, you're without joy, you're without peace, without hope, you're without everything. Beg him for his grace. Beg him. He has the power to give you what Simeon has. He has the grace to give what Simeon has. And you who've been made alive, who have begun to long, who are yearning to see him, maybe you saw a little of him, long again to see him again and again. But do you speak about him? Do we? Church of God, do we speak of him? We can speak about so many things, but Church of God, children of God, why do we, and I include myself, speak so little of him? Why is there so little zeal to speak about him to our neighbors? Why is there so little love? That's what it is, for his honor, for his glory, and for the souls of those who we live with. Simeon longed for Jesus Christ. Simeon saw him. He was revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He embraced him and he spoke of him. My friend, how is it with your soul? Are you longing for a Christmas? To see him? To be able to embrace him? Are you a waiting sinner? You say, who are they? Those are recipients of grace. They become guilty. They have sorrow because they sin against a good doing God. and they come to an end in everything. And they begin to wait, longing for the consolation of Israel. My friend, is that you? Are you waiting? Are you hoping? Do not deny what God has given. Do not deny, because then you will grieve the Holy Spirit. But there's one word for you also. Wait. He will come at His time, in His mercy, and in His goodness. Wait upon the Lord. Faithfully, prayerfully, use the means of grace. And so we will end this morning with one word, a word from God. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, may we beg Thee, Thou who art the triune God, in Thee in whom there's abundant of grace for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, that grace that Thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it also unto us. Renew us, teach us, convict us of sin, empty us of self, and fill us with Thyself. Oh, that in our hearts, in each one of us, there is born by Thy grace, by Thy Spirit, a longing, an urgency, a seeking for the consolation of Israel, and that we cannot rest until we may rest at that same place as Thy child Simeon, embracing, beholding him by the arms of faith. Lord, we pray, remember Thy dear children, those poor and needy sinners who dare not say they belong unto Thee. Visit them, draw them to Thyself, and reveal Thyself. Lord, we pray, help them in this afternoon as we travel to Calgary. Bring us home safely again to also bring Thy word and noble for tonight. But remember this congregation. Care for them. Help Thy servant this afternoon, Reverend Hollander. Give him all that he needs, Lord, and richly bless Thy word here for the coming of Thy kingdom. Forgive all our sins in preaching and in listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 415, stanzas 1 and 10. Unto Thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul. And verse 10, keep my soul, O gracious Savior. Come, I pray, deliver me. Psalter 415, stanzas 1 and 10. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.